Thank you, Pastor. If you'll turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, I don't think we would be exaggerating by saying that these two favorite men, Paul had Timothy and Titus, of which he wrote 13 chapters to in the New Testament, are anything but loved by the apostle. And these are not necessarily Johnny-come-latelys. These are very mature young men, even in spite of the fact that they needed instruction. They're godly men. And not only so, but it would not be exaggerating to say that both of them had thousands of people that they were responsible for. You know, Timothy is not off in a corner somewhere with a few people. He is a leader. And this is why Paul challenges him, and he rebukes, and he compels him. He urges him, just like he does Titus, very seriously. And you cannot read what he's saying here in this fourth chapter without recognizing what he's attempting to drive home to Timothy. And it kind of goes like this in layman's terms. Get rid of all the foolish, silly, old women's talk, idle speculations. Don't give a heed to that. But exercise yourself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable in every circumstance. This is what you're to do, Timothy, because it has a promise now and one in the future. And what I'm telling you is worthwhile and acceptable. And so what strikes home is this challenge to this young preacher. With all the rigorous ability you have, become godly. For it has the promise of the life that is now and the life that is to come. I ask myself the question, why do I need to hear this? Train yourself to be godly. And I'll, honestly, after 50 years, I have so little of it. And so I need take heed to the title of this message, Discipline Yourself to Become Godly. Let's pray. What a challenge. And we pray, oh, blessed Spirit, we have no ability to do this. We can make an effort, but we don't have a checkoff list. And without you, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. And so for the enabling power of your Spirit, here we are on the third Sunday of a new year. And the question, have we thought in any sense about the necessity of moving forward and becoming godly? Oh, be it so, Lord. We confess that we are tired of this mediocre, dwarfness that we possess. And we want to be more like you. But how to obtain that? We do not find. So strengthen us, both rebuke us and encourage us with these words that the apostle writes to his beloved son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so he exhorts him. He challenges him. And it looks like in this passage in verse 7, when he says, refuse these foolish notions such as old women tell, but train yourself into becoming godly. Because godliness is profitable now and then the next life. Bodily exercise may help you a little bit. Not downing bodily exercise. But he's talking about something much greater. It's spiritual discipline of becoming godly. Because it has a promise now, it has a promise in the future. And this is acceptable. And so here he writes this beloved Timothy, whom he won to the Lord. Timothy was a product of a grandmother and a mother, you know. Remember the unfeigned faith that dwelt in Lois and Eunice. Remember from a child, Timothy, that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Don't forget this. In fact, every word of this, these writings, all of the words, graphe theopneustos, is the breath of God exhaled out, and it's profitable. It has an advantage for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. Don't ever get away from this. That you may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. People that are not versed in the Bible have no equipment at all. And no wonder, thy word have I hid in my heart, says the psalmist, in order that I might not sin against you. Which is the major focus of the reason we must hide the word. Pastor preached last week, and the only time success is ever mentioned in God's word is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When is that? When this book of the law never gets off the tip of your tongue and you're meditating in it day and night to observe all that it says that is written in it. And the word is observe, just like the first psalm. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in due season. I had a goal last year to read the Bible three times. That's how I started off, you know. And about the second week, I got bogged down with one of studying the passage. So I got the whole thing done one time with the exception of those books that are very difficult for me to read, the Chronicles, oh, and Samuels and Kings. And so I started out this year again. I think I'm going to settle for one time this year. But there's nothing that can compare to this daily filling your soul with Scripture. And so when Paul writes to Timothy to practice godliness, he's recognizing how this comes to be. And it's not an exhortation at all. You know, this is not what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. That's what this is. When he says, exercise yourself unto godliness, as opposed to getting wrapped up in all this silly discussion and vain speculation. And, you know, like seminary students do. Don't get into that. You train yourself in the most important thing, Timothy. Because all of this other stuff, if it does not produce godliness in your life, it's futile. Let me say it again. Any pursuit of any theological idea that is not for the purpose of developing godliness is futile. And so the challenge is Timothy, put this off and put this on. And your goal in your life is this two-sided thing. Get away from this other stuff and focus on the main thing. This is what you don't do, and this is what you do. So avoid this foolish discussion about things that have little value. And these words that I'm telling you about becoming godly are worth heeding, Timothy. This is what I want you to focus on. It says, look, this is what will save you and those that hear you. These things teach and exhort and rebuke and challenge everyone. Let no one despise your youth. It says the same thing to Titus. Challenges him. So finalizing, he says, now look, I warn you, there are many ideas out there that you can get involved in, and all they amount to is foolish and silly notions. You know, old women's talk. But you master becoming godly, and you'll have a promise now and in the future. And by the way, let's put this in context, friend. He is not talking about anything but a promise of eternal life. And what he's saying in the negative, if you're not working on becoming godly, the promise in the future is not yours. It's the same thing that we spoke about 4 weeks ago, when we talked about examine yourselves, prove yourself, see if you're in the faith. Paul says it again. Lest ye be disapproved. So he's talking about eternal salvation. Now, let's get it straight. Here's a man who is a Christian preacher. Paul is obviously not dealing with his justification when he says, pursue godliness. You know, with every rigid, strenuous effort, become godly. He's not telling Timothy that he's not godly and that he's not accepted in Christ. He's in no way telling Timothy that he has to be godly in order to be saved and declared righteous. That happens at justification. He's making a distinction between one side of salvation and the other side of salvation. There's not a person in this room who has trusted in Christ Jesus, who's not accepted by God totally, his sins removed. He's approved in the courtroom of heaven. He's adopted into the family. He is part of God's child, heir of Christ and of God. And yet there's another side of this thing. Without holiness, doesn't matter what you say about faith saves you, you will never see the Lord. Follow peace and holiness, without which you'll never see the Lord. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, which is the other side of justification. It is the working out, which begins at regeneration, of this enabling power by means of the Spirit of God, so that we grow into that perfect man, which is an absolute necessity. Not something that we accomplish by ourselves, because it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But friend, you're as responsible as Timothy was to work out your own salvation. knowing it's God that works in you. It is not of yourselves. True. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest you boast. But listen, you are His workmanship, and you have been created in Christ Jesus into a new person, which God has before ordained that this new personhood you should walk in. And if you're not walking in it, then the question is, do you have it? And so both sides are, that's what Paul is emphasizing here. He's emphasizing, Timothy, sanctification in your life by becoming godly is just as important as the fact that you trusted Christ. It's the book that made you wise unto salvation, but it didn't stop when you believed on the Lord Jesus and confessed Him with your mouth. It continues onward. And so, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. We have the right, as brothers and sisters, to ask ourselves, are we being conformed to which we are predestinated to be? To the image of Christ. And so this is his argument to Timothy. You know, stay away from this endless unprofitable stuff. He deals with the same thing in the first chapter, in the fourth verse. And he says, you know, endless stuff. It doesn't matter a hill of beans. You train yourself to be godly. And then he says, bodily exercise profits a little bit. But godliness is profitable in every circumstance. So he's using this corollary between what a person does to become physically fit. In fact, when he says discipline yourself, he uses the word that we use for a gymnastic activity. In other words, train yourself to be godly. And I don't know what you think of he's talking about, but let me tell you something. He's not talking about what we feel training is. You know, you go over to the nice gym, has air conditioning, coffee pots, you know, five TVs, and you get on the treadmill and your latest outfit. And no, friend. That's not the picture here. When he used this word, physical training is compared to what I want you to do. In the Greco-Roman world, what an athlete went through is far from what you and I view as a workout program. 50 miles a day, average for a runner. A young man that wanted to be a weightlifter started out lifting a calf every day above his head until he became a full-grown bull, and he was still lifting him. We're talking about the most rigorous type of exercise imaginable. And Paul compares this to what he wants Timothy to understand. You, in the most strenuous way, push yourself to become godly. Now, this is foreign today, friend. We don't know anything about this. And Timothy knew when Paul said this, he was speaking in a matter of compelling him to be godly. And so, God, give us grace as the hart, the deer, pants after the water brook, to pant after you, O God, for this, and that is to be godly. And so he compares the body and the spiritual. And he says it might profit a little bit, but what we're talking about is of much greater value. The more godly we are, the more assurance we have, the more power we have, the better the presence of God we sense. There have been very few people that have ever started in this pursuit, friend. How horrible, how devastating. There was one girl. Her name was Sarah. She married a man named Jonathan Edwards. Let me tell you about her. He wrote, "You know, there's a young lady up here in New Haven who loved that great being and was loved of him. And there was a certain season in which in some way invisible, this being came to her and filled her with something that was exceedingly sweet and delightful. She is of such sweetness and calmness and universal benevolence that she will sometimes go about from place to place singing in her heart through the woods, as if she is fellowshipping with this invisible being and knows no one else around." He married her when she was 17. He was so impressed with her. Now, he wasn't an easy person to live with. Sarah Edwards had 13 children. And she was godly. And she pursued godliness. What are you and I like in respect to this? I mean, when was the last time you just got caught up in becoming godly? How shameful of me as I preach this to realize I have so little of this in my life. And so the benefits and the promises are now and in the future. And Paul ends this by saying, this is something I want you to give full attention to. You know, this is not uncommon of the apostle. In fact, he gives his testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He starts this same idea of becoming godly. And beginning in verse 24, if you'll turn there, he's talking about a race. And he says, runners run in a race that they may obtain a prize. But only one wins. And then he turns it around and says, the race that we are in, all of us are to run that we may obtain the prize. And every man, and he calls this word, and that is becoming godly. Striving for the mastery is what it says. He says words like being temperate in all things. Because we, not as they who obtain a corruptible crown, we're seeking an incorruptible crown. And therefore, let us bring ourselves into subjection. Let us run, not as uncertain people, but let us put our bodies under, he says, that by any means if we do not do this, we ourselves might be cast away. And he refers to himself. I keep my body under. And he's talking about putting these carnal, sinful corruption and the appetites of his flesh under his feet and standing on top of it, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway. He's not talking about, you know, getting to heaven and the Lord saying, you should have done a better job. No, friend, he's equating this with what he considers the teaching of the doctrine of salvation. And it is, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. That's what he's saying in this passage. Well, he's preaching, isn't he? Obviously. To him, preaching is no salvation at all. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself be a cast. This is the same idea that he's giving Timothy. Exercise into becoming godly. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he's focusing on this thing that he uses the words of temperance, self-control, running, that you may obtain a prize, you know, striving for the mastery. An incorruptible crown, he says. Not as uncertainty. Not something you're not sure of. Beating the air, friend. You know, flailing out. No, that's not it. Paul says, not as one, I'm striving for this mastery, not as one that's just second guessing and playing games and shadow boxing. Now, this is real. But I put my body and my sinful appetites under. And he uses this word, I keep myself under. And the word is, I buffet myself. It is as if physically he torments himself to become. That's the nature of what he's talking about when he says to Timothy, with everything you have, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You see the standard here, friend. It is unbelievable. We cannot do this. We must have help to do this. I have people tell me weekly, I don't even have any desire to do that. And I said, right, you don't. But one thing for sure, you as a Christian are totally equipped for this undertaking. The moment you trusted in Christ, everything, praise God, pertaining to you becoming godly is furnished to you through the knowledge of Him. You got it all. There's no excuse, therefore. So let us say together, as hard as it is, I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me, because He is my sufficiency. The package is yours. The ability is God's. And you can, as Paul says to Timothy, become godly, like Sarah Edwards was. It's going to take you your whole life. That's okay. That's the goal, friend. If you have any thoughts about anything less than this, you are missing on what Scripture calls true biblical holiness. And let's get with it. Everybody's trying to substitute. You know, you got the higher life and the deeper life and the second blessing and this tier, and if you'll only get this and that. No, no, no. As a believer in Christ, all things are Christ, and you are Christ. And so you have it. The ability, enabling power, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it. But when you are weak, His sufficiency is yours. Praise Him. His sufficiency is yours. Did we on our own strength confide, the striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Who is that? Christ Jesus can make you godly. In fact, your body is the temple of Christ's Spirit. And when you got saved, He wrote His law in you. And so that His statutes are inside of you. And you have this propensity to become godly. So quit making excuses. As hard as it is, do the same thing Paul challenges Timothy. Become godly. You know, I'd like to get into how this happens. Because obviously He's not talking about just reading your Bible. He's talking about every area. If you slice the pie up, you know, here you are, physical, spiritual, material, you know, intellectual, relational, social, financial, health. Every area, He says. You take your body and you present it to Me as a sacrificial offering. Holy. Acceptable. This is reasonable. This is rational, Christian. This is what God expects of us. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. This might not go over well, but you know, this is what Scripture says, friend. Didn't fare well for me. Still not. Struggling as I looked at this, and yet I must say, whatever is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy, think on this and live this out, is what Scripture says. These things you've seen and heard and learned, do, says the apostle. And so you see, the standard is beyond what we can ever even comprehend as far as the definition of what Christian living is all about. It is unbelievable. Oh, Timothy, guard what you've been trusted with. And here's one of them, friend. He says, you know, avoid all this empty talk and this opposing arguments, that so-called knowledge, which today the church is all caught up with. Get away from this empty chatter that has nothing to do with you becoming holy, and press toward this. Just as a Roman athlete disciplined himself. And by the way, in the gladiatorial games, you do understand that it was a fight to death. Timothy understood that. He knew what it meant when Paul used this gymnastic activity that he was very familiar with about becoming godly. Avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, strifes, disputes about the law. They are unprofitable. They are worthless. They are of no value. The church is overrun with this foolishness, friend. Oh, for a people. God, give it to us. Striving after personal holiness. And there's a lot of directions we can go with this whole idea of becoming godly, but just throw out for you. Self-denial. If I do not deny myself and take up my cross and follow him, I cannot be my disciple. You know, they said, which one of us is going to be the greatest? You know, Jesus set a little boy in the middle. And he said, unless you are converted and become like this little child, you will not be in the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, in reference and comparison to me, with such a devotion that it's almost considered you hate your father and your mother and yourself also, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't, as a corn of wheat, fall to the ground and die, you're not mine. And the rich young ruler, what do I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus threw it in his face, said, keep the commandments. He was heading toward the man's soul, because what the man did not know was what he was going to become suddenly aware of. And he said, which one of them? And he named the last of the Decalogue. And I've kept this since I was a little boy. And he said, okay, fine. Sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me. And he held back because he had something that he wasn't willing to give to Jesus Christ. And he turned away and he forsook the fountain of living water right in front of him. Many are called, few find it. You know why? Because there's a wide gate. And I mean, you go to the football field and there's this 50-yard entrance. Everybody's going in there. And over here is this little teeny entrance. Nobody even sees that. And that's what salvation is. This wide gate, which is nothing but leading to a wide path. And every religious person is going in there. And over here is this little teeny gate. Like, you know, like with a turnstile in the old airport days where you had to take your luggage and take it off because you couldn't go through that little narrow turnstile with all kinds of bags, and you can't go through this narrow gate with your sinfulness. And then it leads to a narrow way. And the scripture says, few there be that even find it. So exercise yourself, Timothy, in contrast to this vain foolishness. It's okay to practice physical endurance, but if you're not practicing godliness, you're missing out. Because this is the only thing that has a promise now, has a promise afterward. And so you see this stringent demand that the apostle is placing on Timothy. No amount of external circumstances will ever avail you anything, Timothy, until you're engaged in this. And no person who is not regenerated can begin this. You have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, friend. This is taught for Christians. You don't have to be recreated unto good works, you know. Have the new creaturehood put in you before you can pursue this. It's the grace of God alone that will teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It is the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit that makes this possible, which is shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we can take heed and note that we do, praise God, have the ability through Christ who strengthens us to become godly. He will aid us. He will enable us. We can trust Him to get us to be godly. I know that, friend. Scripture says as clear as anything that you and I are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ, and everything that is rightfully ours, we may possess it because we are complete in Him. And let us therefore do our part in completing ourselves and becoming godly in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Exercise yourself, Timothy. Fred, exercise yourself. You may be on the way, but you must continue. And may graciously, Lord, every one of us be challenged to fight the good fight. Give us grace for the warfare. Oh, make us strong in the Lord and in your power. Bring up the weapons that we may fight against all opposition and become mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds that fight us. Give us help to cast every imagination that opposes itself to you down. Oh, for the ability to resist the devil as we submit ourselves to you. May this message encourage us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.